Shalom, I bid you midweek and a prosperous morning in the Most High. It is my prayer that you have a degree of optimism and faith the size of a mustard seed so that you can endure the tests and trials and temptations. Welcome to Inspirational Wednesdays, where we want to exhort and encourage our people that are in the midst of the spiritual warfare, the fight, and the battle. And especially those that yet have a degree of optimism, understanding what the prophecy says and what the book says, that all things work together for the good of them that love the Most High. And he came that we might have life and have that more abundantly. Is your life in abundance right now? Maybe there's things you're holding on to you don't need to hold on to. Maybe there are things in your life, dead weeds, dead people, dead relationships, dead friends, Maybe you're not cultivating the marriage. Maybe you are not pouring into the children the proper way. Maybe you're not opening the door to let some things out. And that's what we talk about on Inspirational Wednesdays. I don't want you to just be holding your breath for the weekend. I don't want you to just be sitting around waiting for the Sabbath to where you cut everybody off because you don't have to go out because you look forward to it. The Bible said, follow peace with all men, and holiness without no man shall see the Most High. He also said for us to be careful how we entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. And when you come to understand that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, you are an ambassador of heaven. You are an ambassador for the Most High, Eyah. All praises. And it is your responsibility to represent to the fullest. Stop letting things phase you. Everything is like water off a duck's back. Before I go any further, most importantly, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on the earth as it is in Shemaim. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Heavenly Father, I don't know what people are going through right now, but you do, and you can see it. So I align myself up in prayer with the fact that I can boldly approach the throne because the veil of the temple has been ripped, and make my petitions known. And as you have angels praying for us and interceding for Israel, your people, your true people, and as you have, we have Yeshua HaMashiach, whom this world calls Jesus Christ, interceding on our behalf, I align myself up with those prayers and the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs, the 24 elders that are asking you how much longer. Father, sustain your people while they await and keep the faith as they await the return of our brother and Messiah to relieve us from the anger and the lies that exist in this world and how it's falling on our people through demonic spirits and activity, Father. They're lining themselves up with Esau and the Edomites and the Gentiles and the heathens, and they're taking on their ways and their customs, and we're lying to each other, we're mistreating each other, we're defrauding each other, we're fornicating on each other, we're killing each other. Father, have mercy on us. Shorten the time that we might be redeemed. But give my brothers and sisters the wherewithal to walk away from their sins, their pet sins, their childish sins, and to grow up in the faith and hold fast to the profession of their faith and understand long-term investment in you and not look for short-term gratification in HaShatan and his world. I rebuke it in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We know they turned up that CERN machine on Monday to the fullest degree to release spirits, but we know also that Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against us, your people, your children, the children of Israel that are not lost but found and scattered throughout the four corners, no weapon formed against them can prosper. Give them the ability to stand fast and to do all they can to stand. We need each other. We need you. We need your words. We can't live by bread alone. Honor our fasts. Honor our consecrations. As we honor your holy days, Feast of Pentecost, many have celebrated. Some are going to. It's coming up. We thank you for the Ruach HaKadosh that you've given us to give us wisdom. Give us more wisdom. Give us hindsight. Give us the ability to see what's coming. Father, in all these things, we humble ourselves knowing that we truly can't do it on our own, but it's these things that happen in life that cause us to be humble. May we learn the lesson and walk circumspect and sober in you. We ask these blessings in the name of Christ, HaMashiach. So be it.
So, let me get right into it, because what I want to do is I've been doing imprecatory prayers with David, and I still want you to hold fast to imprecatory prayers. Let me explain that to you. You have every right to ask the Father to destroy your enemies, and if they dig a ditch for you, that the Father will dig two ditches for them to fall into.
for wrongful bosses, wrongful co-workers, enemies, neighbors that are doing you wrong from these other nations that are trying to destroy you, you are well within your rights to pray to the Father that he destroy them and their kids' kids. And he will move on your behalf. If you are a keeper of these commandments, you are a child of the Most High, and if you ain't harming nobody. Now, if you've brought these things on yourself and you pray these prayers and you not living circumspect, soberly, and living right, these things will come back on you. So don't find yourself in a position to where you're asking the Father to avenge you when he really wants to handle you, because you are lying. Check yourself. But what we're going to do is I'm going to always comment on imprecatory prayers on Wednesday, because I know some of you need them as you deal with this captivity, which is our final captivity. Hallelujah. As you walk through this captivity to the plantation and punch your time card and put up with all kind of foolishness, put them prayers on them. But I'm getting ready to go into something that I found interesting on Wednesdays too, Most High willing. I'm going to be doing a reading of the 12 patriarchs. I should do a study for you to understand that the 12 patriarchs, which are the 12 fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel, who are the 12 sons of Jacob, are part of the 24 elders that will stand, that are the 24 elders spoken of in Revelations, the other 12 being the 12 apostles that were chosen by the Most High. And these two combined would make up the 24 elders. Now, we start a series of readings today, and these readings were from, you have the tribe of, like, say, Judah, Levi, Simeon, Reuben, Gad, well, the actual persons, the fathers of these tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob, actually wrote final letters in the book of the 12 patriarchs. I want you to Google it if you want to follow along with me. Please don't get caught up into what people say, what's been changed, what's here, what's not there, or is Charles, is this his interpretation? Read the book. Let the Spirit interpret. Chew up the meat, spit out the bones. Don't get caught up into that conversation, because it's distraction and deflection. Let's stay focused to the task at hand. These letters were to their sons as they lay on their deathbed. They lived to be 120 years approximately on average, all 12 of them, including Joseph. And what happened is that they not only gave these messages to their sons, but for the sons to help to give to the other tribes of things that they learned and they're coming about, but they definitely wanted this to be a part of what their tribe put emphasis on and understood. Now, the story and message was not relegated to just that tribe. These are life lessons that were for the entire children of Israel. All praises. So with that being said, first of all, I just kind of want to talk to you about distractions. Not only do we have chemtrails loaded with metals and barium that are coming through the sky that are causing depression, causing us to have to take medicines and giving us all types of physiological problems. We have TVs turned on in the day, letting the news blare out through our house, and we're hearing a lot of depressing messages of death, murder, political upheaval, coming assassination or impeachment, bombs being fired off, World War III simmering, and fear is being disseminated in the atmosphere. Subliminally, there's a subconscious message being passed on to you, and it's causing spiritual warfare inside your subconscious, and you're not even aware of it. Also, we're seeing just a pure hatred. The love of many has waxed cold, not shall. It has waxed cold. And there are so many people at odds with you. Sometimes you wonder and you say to yourself, I did nothing to you. But understand this, we are warfaring in the spirit realm. I read in the book of 2nd Esdras, the 13th chapter, somewhere around the 13th verse or 20th, that not only will there be nation against nation, but there will be realm against realm. Also, we find in the patriarchs that it says in the book of Simeon, I believe, and I'll get to that next week if Most High is willing, that there's an angel that is constantly praying for the remnant of Israel that they'll make it, because he goes on to say every evil spirit is against the children of Israel. Do you know how powerful that is? If you say every evil spirit, we're talking about millions of evil spirits that are constantly at work to try and seduce us, tempt us, and knock us out the box. That's right, knock us out the box.
So we have to come to understand and know that the only way we're going to have victory is by holding fast to the spirit realm of the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit. Feast Pentecost is coming up, all praises. If you're not praying every day and reading this word every day, I doubt you're going to make it. And if you're not separating yourself from the accoutrements of this world, lusting after physical material things, then there's going to be a problem. See, understand that when we do go into the wilderness, we'll be stripped of everything you think you have to have right now. Got to have your smoke, got to have your drink, got to be able to see naked women, got to put on your makeup, got to go to the club, got to watch the sports games. Man, you're going to have to find out where your focus really is. Right. Got to keep my hair done, need my fresh weave, got to get my fade right. All that stuff. Where's your focus at? Let me give you something to take a look at before I do this reading. In the spirit realm, naturally, the natural types of the spirit, so what you can't see does manifest on the outer. And so you need to check the symptoms before you can get to the root and you see this manifestation of things on the outer. Then you should be able to discern through prayer and fasting that spiritually there's some type of upheaval going on as well. There's a battle. As a matter of fact, these Gentiles and heathens are battling against each other because the spirits that possess them are pushing for control. Who will rule? Who will control? You know they don't get along. They're vying for power under Hashatan, their ruler. I think it's amazing. Listen to this, because I'm trying to look and see what this means in the spirit. I think this is amazing. While all of this is going on and they're building walls, and we're keeping people from traveling, trying to lock people into America with more visas and passports, and trying to make sure we don't let foreigners in, and going against the Muslims and some of that stuff people think is good, and the Latinos that's been here working undocumented, sending them home and sending people back. Guess what is happening and that they're not reporting? Ghana has removed the need for visas to come into the country. If you are African descent, you can come and go. If you are a black man, East Africa is beginning to do it. And now guess who's talking about it? South Africa. You will not need a visa if you are Afrikaans. Meaning they're talking about you, dark melanated man, that you will be able to travel into Africa. They said, the leaders of South Africa, if you really are pushing us being a global world with a global economy, why are we closing our borders? Africa is opening up its borders to Afrikaans to come and see what life is really like here, and you are welcome. And they said, we're doing this at a time when other countries are closing their borders, locking their people in, and restricting people from coming there. Now, you're not hearing about this, but in the spirit realm, I'm asking myself, Father, does this have anything to do with how you're going to gather your scattered, so-called lost people from the four corners of the earth and take them to a place which we will call the wilderness and protect them and nurture them for a time and half a time while you're dealing with Hashatan and they're battling and they're in World War III? Does this have anything to do with that? A lot of you are worried about traveling because America's got you on probation and got you with educational fees and tax evasion looming over your head and don't want you to go anywhere. Most High is going to make a way for you to be able to get out. But this is me just telling you this to see if you can see that something is simmering and brewing. But instead, you're more worried about what we're going to do when these nuclear bombs drop. Do I have enough food? We better get some gold, and I got a few guns. But are you also prepping yourself spiritually and asking the Most High what he wants you to do? I can tell you one of the main things he wants you to do is fear him and keep his commandments, because the children of Israel were in no way prepared to flee Egypt. Lot was told to just go, get out, and don't even turn around and look back. But his silly wife did.
It's always in a hurry. That's why we do the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because they didn't have time to put yeast in the bread and let it rise. They had to take it as it was and flee and go. And when he says move, you got to move. But will you be connected in the spirit enough to hear him when he says move? Right. It's a relationship that knows how to turn the TV, the radio down, to open the book, the Bible, when he says turn it off, when he says be still, listen to me, I need to talk to you. Do you have that relationship with your Father today? That's what I need to know, that you know, in order to be victorious in your life and overcome. I know you may be sick in your body, but it's because you have to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And keep these statutes, laws, and commandments, because sin is transgressing the law. You have broken dietary laws. The laws are not done with, weighed with. Christ came to fulfill the prophecy spoken of in the Torah, but because you don't read the Old Testament, you don't understand that. But he came to fulfill it, and he said, not one jot, a tittle of this will pass away until all has been fulfilled. So it hasn't all been fulfilled because he hasn't returned and set us up in the kingdom. There's too much more to fulfill that the prophets spoke of. So it's not done away with. And he redeemed us from the curse of the law, which was death, because you were to be put to death. You were caught in fornication and adultery and stealing and doing other types of sins. But he said, no longer. I will give you grace and mercy so that you can repent and come back to the laws and commandments. But you that constantly break the dietary laws and these physical laws and not keeping these holy days are bringing sicknesses upon yourself because your gluttonous. There are things that are okay for you to drink outside of alcohol, but you drinking in excess, like drinking a six-pack of Coca-Cola, which is nothing but carbonated poison that destroys your inside, even worse than having a couple of glasses of wine and being drunk, because these are laced with chemicals. It was a young man who died yesterday at 16 because in the morning he had a Mountain Dew. 30 minutes later, he had a latte with a double shot, and then probably an hour later he had an energy drink and was rushed to the hospital, and his heart gave out on him at 16. Overdose of caffeine. See, so don't let people say, oh, smoking and drinking. You got people sitting up eating a bag of pork skins, six Coca-Colas, and smoking cigarettes, and they think they're better off than you with their tainted Christian beliefs. Coming back to the statutes, laws, and commandments will teach you to respect your temple, your body, by worshiping the Most High with your body, soul, and spirit, what we're talking about on the Sabbath. If you should get a chance to tune in, last week we talked about sinning against I think we talked about the spirit. And we're going to talk about the body coming this Shabbat. But I want you to understand how important it is to let the temple be a dwelling place for the Ruach HaKadosh, which is the Holy Spirit, as we are in the times of Pentecost, the festival, the feast day, the high holy day of Pentecost, first fruits. Are you giving him your first fruits? Are you giving him all? That is the question to be asked. Praise him where you stand, knowing that he inhabits the praises of his people. Don't lament in your grief. He even got upset with people that grieved over 2 and 3 days because he didn't want you to let that become idolatry or worship. Grieve, get on with it, move on. Just like David did after his first child with Bathsheba passed. Well, it's over. The child is dead. Get me something to eat. Take these sackcloth and ashes and put them up. I'll just have to deal with it. It's my fault, and it's done. Now, I got to say this. Don't think that you can just keep sinning or that you have sinned and you've repented and it's done if you're one that committed adultery on your husband or your wife. There are consequences. And don't think they're going to fall on him or on her. They're going to fall on you for having done that. I am so ticked off at the story I read about a woman leaving her husband's house at 2 in the morning to go pick up a 15-year-old boy and have sex with him in the back of her car. That is a demon spirit of lust that is overtaking our people. Lust, 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 lust. Everybody wants to be sexing, and that's so fulfilling, as opposed to a lifetime in hell or as not wanting to have a lifetime in the kingdom in paradise. You have no self-control. that is that important? You have that much low self-esteem? You hate and dread getting older? You can't embrace who you are and help the young people? You want to destroy lives? That's a shame. And if that husband is listening, I'd say to you, do not be embarrassed. Do not be ashamed. Be thankful to the Father for revealing to you what you had aligned yourself up with. Get away, get out, talk about it, overcome it. Don't put your head down, put your head up, because you did nothing. And you were saved and spared the embarrassment of something that could have been hidden for years and been done behind your back. When we come back, we're going to read the 12 patriarchs. We're going to start with Reuben. I want you to hear the goodness of these stories. They left their sons, their tribes, and their people. Give me a minute to take a break and prepare ourselves.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me.
Brothers and sisters, and shalom to my Hebrews. Welcome back to the second part of our Inspirational Wednesday. And we're just giving you some exhortation and encouragement as the scriptures told us to do. This is my responsibility, your job. I am your brother, Elder V. Torah. And we want to thank you for having listened to the lessons and passed these lessons on. We don't look for money freely. We receive and freely we give. That's our job. Too many ministries are making merchandise of the people, selling T-shirts, cups, trips, building funds, college funds. What the hell is going on? Okay, we have a responsibility to, he said, such as you have done unto the least of them, you've done also unto me. So when he sees you taking care of the least of them, the ones that are shunned, the ones that you walk by and turn your back on and be like, I don't help nobody on the street. You know, I know what you're going to do with this money. All that kind of stuff. We can't turn our backs on the least of them. Some of you are actually walking by angels that are checking you, man. This is what I said earlier. This is real talk. You got to watch yourself. See, the angels have the ability to transform themselves into anything and any any nation and race too. So I'm telling you to follow peace with all men and holiness without no man shall see the Most High. We have a responsibility to check ourselves and then walk out the door knowing I am an ambassador. I would implore you to write this on your door so you see it as I go out. I am an ambassador of heavenly places, and I represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Most High Yah. I will do my part to establish his government on the earth as I employ myself today for the work of his kingdom and not for the work of Hashatan. Thank you that I have resources, but it's because of you. It's exactly the mindset you should have when you walk out that door. All praises to the Most High. Represent to the fullest. That's what time it is. So as I mentioned earlier, the 12 patriarchs are a half of the 24 elders and the other half being the 12 apostles. You all want me to validate that, and I will. I'll talk about that on the Shabbat, Most High willing, that those are the 24 elders spoken of in the Revelations. The 12 and the 12 make the 24. And I will give you scriptural reference. I want you to stay focused today because my job today is to encourage, exhort, that you might pass it on and not just hold your breath and wait for the Sabbath or the Shabbat, but be encouraged midweek. So we've already done our prayer, our time of encouragement. We talked about imprecatory prayers. Now let's listen to this first book. So there's, of course, 12 sons. So this should last about 12 weeks. I'm going to go through all these before I go back to the imprecatory prayers. And I think if you can follow along with me, as I said, you can Google this. And it's called The Testaments of the 12 Patriarchs. And you can follow along with me. I'm going to start first with Reuben, who was the firstborn son of Jacob, who wrestled with the Most High, and Leah. It says, the copy of the testament of Reuben, even the commands which he gave his sons before he died. Now, this is the testament of Reuben. So when we say this is the testimony, the testament, the story, the chronicles, throughout the word we read about the testament of Job. Have you read that? All this is for our learning, for everyone. And he gave it to his sons that they might learn it and teach it and write it down and scribe it. Chapter 1, verse 2. He died in the 125th year of his life, 2 years after the death of Joseph. Now, when Reuben fell ill, his sons and his sons' sons were gathered together to visit him. And he said to them, my children, behold, I am dying, and go the way of my fathers. And seeing there Judah and Gad and Asher, his brethren, he said to them, raise me up. So they were there too, that I may tell to my brethren and to my children what things I've hidden in my heart. So the brothers, I'm sure they told their kids, they spread this story. For behold, now at length I am passing away. And he arose and kissed them and said unto them, hear, my brethren, and do ye, my children, give ear to Reuben, your father, in the commands which I give unto you. And behold, I call to witness against you this day the Most High of heaven, that ye walk not in the sins of youth and fornication, wherein I was poured out, and defiled the bed of my father Jacob. And I tell you that he smote me, the Most High smote me with a sore plague in my loins for 7 months. This is why in the earlier preclude I spoke about that couple and about the children of Israel being given over to fornication and adultery. Slap yourself for a temporary satisfactory lust. He was smote with sickness. This is what's getting ready to happen because we're out of time, Israel. Let me read. And had not my father Jacob prayed for me to the Most High, the Most High would have destroyed me. You hear what he's saying? He knows that he was going to be killed for what he had did. But Jacob kept pleading with the Most High to not kill his firstborn. For I was 30 years old when I wrought the evil thing before the Most High. And for 7 months I was sick unto death. And after this I repented with set purpose of my soul for 7 years before the Most High. And wine and strong drink, I didn't even drink that. Didn't have time to kick it no more. It was about my life. And flesh entered not into my mouth. He didn't even eat meat. And I ate no pleasant food. That's no sweetbreads and everything that's pleasurable to the palate. But I mourned over my sin, for it was great, such as had not been in Israel. Nobody had ever seen this type of sickness or what he had did in his father's bed. Chapter 2, now hear me, my children, what things I saw concerning the seven spirits of deceit. Let's hear this. This is the key to Reuben. Seven spirits of deceit. I repented. Seven spirits, therefore, are appointed against man, and they are the leaders in the works of you. And seven other spirits are given to him at his creation, that through them should be done every work of man. Here's the first. The first is the spirit of life, with which the constitution of man is created. Second is the sense of sight, with which ariseth desire, when you see something and you lust after it. Third is the sense of hearing, with which cometh teaching, the hearing that you can hear Satan talking to you and other people's opinions that lead you astray. Fourth is the sense of smell, with which tastes are given. You get a taste in your mouth for cannabis, marijuana, alcohol, gluttony, and you just got to have it. Fourth, and let's see, this is verses 6 and 7. Taste are given to draw air and breath. The fifth one is the power of speech, with which cometh knowledge. The sixth is the sense of taste, with which cometh the eating of meats and drinks, and by its strength is produced. For food is the foundation of strength. Very important to know. Seventh is the power of procreation and sexual intercourse, with which through love and pleasure sins enter in. Wherefore, it is the last in order of creation and the first in that of youth, because it is filled with ignorance and leadeth youth as a blind man to a pit and as a beast to a precipice. Besides all these, there is an eighth spirit of sleep, with which is brought about the trance, nature, and the image of death. With these spirits are mingled the spirits of error. First, the spirit of fornication is seated in the nature and in the senses. The second, the spirit of insatiableness in the belly. The third, the spirit of fighting in the liver and gall. The spirit of fighting inside your liver and gall. The fourth is the spirit of obsequiousness and chicanery, that through officious attention one may be fair in seeming. The fifth is the spirit of pride, that one may be boastful and arrogant. The sixth is the spirit of lying in perdition and jealousy, to practice deceitfulness and concealments from kindreds and friends. You know, the secrets that you'll take to the grave. Hide, that's akin to the spirit of lying, because you're going to lie about it, because you want to keep it hidden, because you're deceitful. It's all one. Get yourself right, Israel. The seventh is the spirit of injustice, with which are thefts and acts of rapacity, that a man may fulfill the desire of his heart. For injustice worketh together with the other spirits by taking of gifts. And with all these, the spirit of sleep is joined, which is that of error and fantasy. And so perisheth every young man, darkening his mind from the truth and not understanding the laws of Ahayah, nor or obeying the admonitions of his fathers. You've got to call in if you want to hear the remainder of this reading. That call-in number is 213-769-0910. If you're listening online, you're going to be cut off because I'm going 15 minutes into overtime to read the rest of this. Let's see. And with the spirit of sleep is joy, error, and fantasy. So it says darkening his mind from the truth and not understanding the law of the Most High, nor or obeying the admonitions of his fathers, as befell me also in my youth. And now, my children, love the truth, and it will preserve you. Hear ye the words of Reuben, your father. Pay no heed to the face of a woman, nor associate with another man's wife, nor meddle with affairs of womankind. Don't even get caught up in that stuff they talk about. For had I not seen Bilhah bathing in a covered place, I had not fallen into this great iniquity. It was Bilhah he fell with in his own father's bed. For my mind, taking in the thought of the woman's nakedness, suffered me not to sleep until I had wrought that abominable thing. After I saw her naked, I had to have her. After she did, I had to have her. You see what I'm saying? So for while Jacob, our father, had gone to Isaac, his father, when we were in Eder, near to Ephrath in Bethlehem, Bilhah became drunk and was asleep uncovered in her chamber. Having therefore gone in and beheld nakedness, I wrought the impiety without her perceiving it, and leaving her sleeping, and I departed. And forthwith an angel of the Most High revealed to my father concerning what I did. And he came and mourned over me and touched her no more, because Bilhah was his, but he slept with Bilhah. Damn shame, because he saw her naked. She got drunk and slept naked. Pay no heed, therefore, my children, to the beauty of women. So y'all wasting y'all time with your Maybelline and your MAC products. To the beauty of women, nor set your mind on their affairs. They don't even get caught up in that. But walk in singleness of heart in the fear of the Most High. See, he gonna handle all the business. Stay focused, brothers. And expend labor on good works. Right. Put your focus there. And on studying and on your flocks until the Most High a wife whom he will that you suffer not as I did. For until my father's death, I had no boldness to look in his face for what I did. He was wrong. Or to speak to any of my brothers for what I did. Crap up. This is what that dude did in Stanford where he found a drunk woman and he was drunk and had sex with her and they let him go. It's a damn shame. What his firstborn did, and he was ashamed his whole damn life. A lot of y'all got shame stuff that you keep in secret and hide in your gut and think you're going to take it. Release it to the Most High and confess it if you have to. Most of you won't confess the things that you've done that you know were wrong for fear of losing something. And if you need or deserve to lose it, you need to lose it. What you need to be more concerned about is getting into the kingdom. I got more to read. And yet my father comforted me much and prayed for me until the Most High, that the anger of the Most High might pass from me, even as the Lord showed. And thenceforth until now, I have been on my guard and sinned not. Therefore, my children, I say unto you, observe all things whatsoever I command you, and ye shall not sin. For a pit unto the soul is the sin of fornication, separating it from the Most High and bringing it near to idols, because it deceiveth the mind and understanding and leadeth young men into hell before their time. For many have fornication destroyed, because thou, a man, be old or noble or rich or poor, he bringeth reproach upon himself with the sons of men and derision with Belial, Satan. For ye heard regarding Joseph how he guarded himself from a woman and purged his thoughts from all fornication. He did it and found favor in the sight of the Most High and men for purging himself and fleeing it and having self-control. For the Egyptian woman did many things unto him, and summoned magicians and offered him potions, but the purpose of his soul admitted no evil desire. Therefore, the Most High of your fathers delivered him from every evil and hidden death. For if fornication overcomes not your mind, neither can Belial overcome you. All praises. See, if you can keep that, Satan can't touch you. You can control it. For evil, listen to this. Chapter 5, for evil are women, my children, and since they have no power or strength over men, they're not stronger than man, they use their wiles by outward attractions, the things they do to their body and the clothes they don't wear, that they may draw him to themselves, and whom they cannot bewitch by outward attractions, him they overcome by craft, witchcraft, seducing. For moreover, concerning them, the angel of the Lord told me and taught me that women are overcome by the spirit of fornication more than men, and in their heart they plot against men because they want that power over them, and by means of their adornment they deceive first their minds, and by the glance of the eye, you know, wig and batten, eyeliner, everything, they can steal poison, and then through the accomplished act, they take them captive because he becomes whipped, henpecked, and gotta have it, and she'll use it as a tool. For a woman cannot force a man openly by a harness bearing, she beguiles him. Flee therefore fornication, my children, and command your wives and your daughters that they adorn not their heads and faces to deceive minds. Hallelujah. Tell them about it. You don't use all that to try and deceive people and make them think something. That woman that had that boy in the back of that truck, she took off that makeup, she looked like a horned goat toe. Because every woman who uses these wiles have been reserved. Let me say this clearly. This is what Reuben said. Because every woman who uses these wiles have been reserved for eternal punishment. Their destiny has already been set. For thus they allured the watchers who were before the flood. For as these continually beheld them, they lusted after them. And they conceived the act in their minds first. For they changed themselves into the shape of men. Reuben is testifying that these watchers and angels transformed themselves into men and appeared to them when they were with their husbands. And the women, lusting in their minds after the forms, gave birth to giants. So they came and took these women from their husbands because these women were had the proclivity and propensity to be deceptive, women adorning themselves in harlotry, costumes, makeups, and doing things to cause men to lust after them. It's a sin. Chapter 6, beware, therefore, of fornication. And if you wish to be pure in mind, guard your senses from every woman. Guard your senses. And I say this, and I'm saying keep it real. There's too much of the world telling women to look seductful, dress seductful, put it out there, make a man want you. Make everywhere you go, you get attention. And y'all so damn low self-esteem, you want some men to look at you and say, hey, what's up? Nick, I'm married. I don't want to hear that. You should have even been looking in a certain kind of way where he would walk up to you like that. So check yourself, because you might be on your way to hell. And command the women likewise not to associate with men, that they also may be pure in mind. Shouldn't be sitting up chopping it up with them, be around them all the time, be in their faces, hanging out, having lunch with them, especially if you're married. But constant meetings, even though the ungodly deed be not wrought, are to them an irremediable disease, and to us a destruction of Belial and an eternal reproach. For in fornication there is neither understanding nor godliness, and all jealousy dwelleth in the lust thereof. Therefore, then I say unto you, will be jealous against the sons of Levi and will seek to be exalted over them, but ye shall not be able to, for the Most High will avenge them, and ye shall die by an evil death. For to Levi the Most High gave the sovereignty, and to Judah with him, and to me also, and to Dan and Joseph, that we should be for rulers. Therefore I command you to hearken to Levi, because he shall know the law of the Most High, and shall give ordinances for judgment, and shall sacrifice for all Israel unto the consummation of the times. As the anointed high priest of whom Most High spake, I adjure you by the king, the power of heaven, to do truth, each one unto his neighbor, and to entertain love, and one for his brother, and draw ye near to Levi in humbleness of heart, that ye may receive a blessing from his mouth. For he shall bless Israel and Judah, because him hath the Most High chosen to be king over all the nation, and bow down before his seed. For on our behalf it will die in wars, visible and invisible, and will be among you an eternal king. Then Reuben died. You sisters might think this is harsh, but it ain't nothing harsh about it if you truly want to be a holy, virtuous, set-apart woman, because the world is feeding you, giving you the jobs, giving you the promotions, they're dressing you, telling you how to look, and telling you how to keep men at your feet through seduction. You need to come up out of that and come up out of her. Y'all gonna really have it tough if you can't walk away from that getting into the kingdom. That's why he sent my congregation of men. I'm not pulling no punches with y'all, and I'm not drawing back. That's just the way it is, and if you're having a hard time, I suggest you talk to the Father, not me. I read from the book of Reuben, out of the testaments of the 12 patriarchs. I can go to the book of Titus and Proverbs to affirm more of what the Most High expects from you. But it's a shame that the seduction of women caused the watchers, angels, to put down their heavenly essence and esteem to come down and be men and have sex with them. You possess great power. I suggest you learn what to do with it so that you can be fit in the kingdom. Brothers, stay away from fornication or you're going to die and go to hell. Joseph overcame his lust. So for the women, brothers, that you see that can't get it straight and they walking around you with the tightest and tightest of dress, because it ain't about pants or dresses when you can wear a mini skirt that's tight as heck and you can see that woman's form. And then she got a low-cut blouse and you can see the form of her breast. And then she got her lips poked out with every color lipstick she could find. I know, but if, brothers, if you can look at that and shake your head and say, I want no parts of that, and overcome that and realize that that is nothing but death, you are on your way to the kingdom. You will have conquered Satan, and you will find favor with the Most High. Let's get it together, people. Israel, we're trying to make it. Got mad love for you. You are the people, and we shall see the King of Kings. Long live the King. I say to you, as I always say, as your brother, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a destination, not a journey. We midweek pray that we see the Shabbat. If not, if this all ends, maybe I'll see you in the wilderness or in glory. Have a blessed day in the kingdom. Shalom, peace and blessings. Baruch Atah.
Yeah, you know.